Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seize the world on Kaya959.
On the street, on the air.
As I said earlier on, we're joined by a friend of the show. You've heard him on the show before. Independent political analyst and friend of the show, Kaya's Toilet. To break down pretty much, I mean, we all saw yesterday what happened in the U.S. The man dramatically has made his way back into the White House, into the Oval Office. Donald Trump took on Kamala Harris for the position of the president of the USA and has come out victorious. We've seen presidents all over the world congratulate him, including our very own Cyril Ramaphosa. Good morning, Kaya.
Good morning and good morning to the listeners.
All good, man. Look, I mean, we've brought you on to pretty much just find out really, you know, what this means for South Africa as a whole. You know, the new president of the USA being voted in, that's Donald Trump. However, I just want to know firstly, because I was noticing that he took a rather nationalistic and anti-liberal stance and agenda in his election campaign. And would you say this is what tipped the scales in his favor? What exactly did he get right that connected with, you know, the Americans? And would you say this is a turning point for America?
No. So what he got right is essentially the same thing that he got right in his first successful campaign back in 2016. So what he seems to have picked on is that there is a very big part of American society that is really disgruntled with the way things are. This is part of society that feels that they've been left behind with the way the economic developments and social developments have happened in recent years. So how he then structured his own campaign was that he positioned himself as the man who was going to champion the cause of those disaffected voters. And obviously, that turns out to have been a much bigger constituency than what people had suspected before. So what happened is that when he was then out of the presidency, that same part of the population felt that the Democrats, when they were in power, didn't really address the underlying issues that had made Trump so appealing in the first round. So the idea that I must close off the borders in order to ensure that you have jobs, that will always appeal to people who feel that they are at the risk of losing their jobs because somebody else is displacing them from the job market. So it turns out that over the past 8 to 10 years, that hasn't really changed within the fabric of American society. So anyone who runs on that particular campaign is still going to be able to tap into the pulse of those anxieties. And no one does it better than Donald Trump, because also the way he tends to run his politics is that he doesn't come through as a scripted politician who will then follow the rules that have been set many years ago by political actors of yesteryear. He simply says, whatever you need to hear in order for you to resonate with me, that is what I will say, and I will say it in a manner that appeals to you.
Now, in terms of, you know, South Africa and Africa as a whole and our relation to the U.S., how much of a difference does it really make that Trump is now in the Oval Office?
It makes a big difference, not just for Africa, but for the world at large, because Trump has been very clear that as far as he's concerned, his primary responsibility and his primary obligations are to those that have put him in power. That is obviously the citizens of the United States. Now, obviously, the problem here is that the globalization agenda that we've seen since 1947 in particular has promoted the idea of mutual solidarity and, you know, mutual prosperity amongst different countries. Now, the problem with that particular idea is that that development, or at least the windfalls of that solidarity pact, have not filtered out evenly across the world and also evenly within different citizens of particular countries. So he's been very clear that he believes that he needs to sort out the American windfall question first, and then thereafter reach out to the global partners and global alliances out there. It also happens that the world, as it turns out, and Africa, as it turns out, is highly dependent on American trade and American trade patterns, which simply means that no one can afford to pretend that the United States doesn't exist. So the difference now that we expect to see is that those that are responsible for engaging and negotiating with him will not be as dismissive as they were in the first iteration, because they now know that he is indeed back for another term. So in their engagements, we expect them to be a bit more collaborative, and that might mean that some of the more radical ideas that he has may indeed be tempered down, but it's going to be a remarkably difficult time for diplomats across the globe as they try to figure out how they're going to work with the Trump that now knows that since this is his last term, he will essentially try to do everything that he failed to do in the first term because the political bureaucracy had prevented him from doing so. So it's going to be a very tricky couple of years for everyone and also African countries.
Now, speaking of bureaucracy that has prevented him from doing certain things, I noticed that the Republicans have won a majority of the Senate. What exactly does that mean as far as Trump and him fulfilling his promises to those Americans he had made during his electioneering?
Well, it simply means that whatever the agenda that he wants to pursue and the Republicans agree with him, they will simply convert into law overnight. So the importance of having that Senate in the majority simply means that your own party's politicians dominate that particular decision-making chamber, which means that once you've convinced them that you want this particular thing to be done, it becomes much easier to get it across the line. We do obviously believe that one of the most important actions that he's going to do over the next 4 years is to ensure that, unlike Barack Obama, who failed to convince Ruth Bader Ginsburg many years ago to retire from the Supreme Court, Trump will be much more persuasive towards in the manner that enables them to appoint their successors who are going to be as partisan as these two are. So he's going to reshape or continue to reshape the Supreme Court. And obviously that has significant intergenerational implications for American society. And that is, again, something that the Democrats spectacularly failed to do when they could have had the opportunity to do so.
Aha. And now lastly, there's that also that question of the criminal charges that he was facing. What happens to those? Could we see the man possibly not serve his full term? What exactly happens to those as he has ascended now to the presidency?
I have absolutely no idea. So we do know that there has to be a sentencing process, I think, on November 26th in relation to one of those charges in which he has been found guilty. And that's happening in the state of New York. So the trick here is to establish whether, because on November 26th he will still be president-elect, Joe Biden will still actually be president, whether that sentencing will go ahead. And if that sentencing does go ahead, then it's going to be a question of whether he gets a custodial sentence or not. And that obviously has implications on whether he can essentially move into the White House on the 6th of January next year. So it's going to be a remarkably tricky one. And I do not have any idea how the American justice system is going to respond to this particular dilemma.
Independent political analyst Kaya Sithole, thank you so much, man.
Nah, honestly, the only reason I'm so happy that Trump won this presidency is because he's against the devil of human trafficking and child pornography and child abduction. So I'm just happy for that part, because I think that is such a major issue that countries need to deal with. And if he's setting such a great example for that, then I'm for him, like 100%.
I neither here or there when it comes to, you know, American politics. What I can tell you is that this guy won because he was saying all the right things. And I would like to argue that if he were to come to South Africa and say the very same things that he was saying when he was campaigning about closing the borders and, you know, the economy and all of that, he would win hands down. At this point in our country, he would win hands down. He's a racist prick. But, well, you know, I guess the American public just decided that, you know, it's the lesser evil.
Yeah, almost reminds me of Gayton when he said, "Abahambe." You know, it's a very popularist slogan. But also, I think if we had maybe two parties only and the one party was saying mainly, you know, a Donald Trump-esque messaging of "Abahambe," I think every point definitely would win, I say.
And I think that Kamala Harris, she brought this to herself. She did. The fact that Ubize Abo Beyonce, nje wonke lama celebrity ukuthi abe involved abantu ngesikhathi bavota I think bebasacabanga ukuthi ay the facts ukuthi nje bafaka bo Beyonce nabo Cardi B kule rally abantu bebasakwatelelo ukuthi no bona ba against lama celebrities. That's the reason ivote yakhe ibe shaky. So bekumele nje I keep a simple girl lento le yabo Trump uvile wayitholela, that's why abantu bavotele no Trump. She brought this to herself.
To be honest, Jonasola, mina is a South African, mina my focus is on breaks. You know, my focus is on Putin, it's on China. Yeah, I'm America. We don't care. Trump wins or Kamala wins or whoever wins. I don't care. As long as our president went there to Putin and say and told Putin, hey, how is South Africa doing with the GNU? I'm fine. BRICS, Pambili. Americans, I'm
thank you for all your voice notes, man.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.